Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, and still broadcasting in full mono AM 1570 sound. We hope you find us and set us out on your radio dials, as well as the Listen Live. There's so many things I could talk about, including the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Cooper's North. It'd be great to get up there. I'm going to have the gumbo. I don't care who knows it. Crab cake, sure. I'll have two, but I'm going to be having the gumbo. All are brought to you by our friends at Goodwill, Window Nation, and of course, the Restaurant Association of Maryland, reminding everybody, go out and eat this week, man. It's restaurant week. Go take advantage of some deals. Go all the purple wounds need to be salved. And I would think, well, it's going to be warm this week. I was going to say hot bowl of soup or something like that, because it feels a little fall in the mornings. But John Harbaugh is going to have the place on fire out in Owings Mills this week. Luke Jones joins us now to continue to, I don't know, dude, make sense of this as I sit here and sip on some Rofo coffee to say what part of this is going to make sense. And as I wrote in my column this week at Baltimore Positive, columnist, this is a tough film cut up for them. This is the room by room through the building watching this specifically on Monday, and then they'll move on and they'll game plan for the Patriots. But to make sure things don't go this way again, there's a lot of teaching moments for Coach Harbaugh this week, right?
I think the key in these types of situations where you're talking about, let's face it, one of the absolute worst losses of the John Harbaugh era is balancing doing what you need to do to fix things and to clean things up, because clearly there's a lot of work to do, with also having, you need to forget about it then, right? You need to turn the page and not let that linger from a mental and emotional standpoint. So I think the best teams are able to do that. And certainly the Ravens have had tough losses before. Certainly they've had emotional wins, and then we see them come out and be flat the next week. We've seen them rebound. I mean, there are a lot of ways that this can go, but you clearly need to put in the necessary work, but still be able to compartmentalize and realize, all right, it's time to turn the page. We don't play Miami again. Maybe we'll see them in January. I mean, they look pretty darn good. Got to give the Dolphins their props, but we can't do anything about that anymore. So you better not let it linger going up the Foxborough and taking on a Patriots team that I think people are still trying to figure out how good they are. But I think what's so frustrating about this, Nestor, is we linger and we'll dwell and talk so much about the fourth quarter for good reason, right? I mean, that's where they lost the game, but it really wipes away what was an incredible story from the standpoint of what Lamar Jackson did against a Miami blitz that absolutely embarrassed him in this offense last year, and what was just an ugly nightmare of a Thursday night loss. Lamar absolutely torched the Miami blitz. And as much as we beat up the offensive line for not being able to run the football and the concerns there that are very legitimate, they did a really good job of handling the Miami blitz. I mean, you look, that first half of football, that was, that was art, the way that they completely handled the blitz. And that's something we talked about throughout the offseason with Lamar and questions about his ability to handle the blitz. It's something he had done really well his first couple seasons. If you go back and look at it, and Pro Football Focus, has these types of statistics, and you could see that it hadn't been a problem, but it was a problem last year, not just against Miami. So that was so encouraging to see. Lamar sets more NFL records. Rashad Bateman looked like a number one wide receiver. I mean, he makes the big play, 75-yard touchdown, showed some breakaway speed that I think was a question for him. So there was so much good, so much positive, so much to be excited about in three quarters of action, but it's ruined when you give up four touchdowns in the last quarter and you completely squander a 21-point lead, something the Ravens hadn't done in a quarter century of football here in Baltimore.
Luke Jones is here. I am. I'll be here all week long. We're going to be at Cooper's on Friday as well, getting out and about. Lamar, it's very, very easy in the aftermath of this to go out into social media and pay Lamar. Even I refer to in my columnist at the Baltimore Positive, the Pay Lamar Tour is here. And you go out into social media and you say, what other quarterback on a rookie contract would have these accomplishments that wouldn't be signed, that they would be dangling out? And then daring him to do things he hasn't done without a left tackle. You know, I mean, they have a backup center playing starting left tackle. Let's start with that, right? And they're doing that in the fourth quarter, and they have a lot of plays under their belt. They couldn't get off the they couldn't get off the field in the beginning, and they couldn't get onto the field in the end, right? But for Lamar, Lamar is the franchise at this point. I think he goes as it goes as he goes. And he looks so good. He's thrown the ball so well. And yet we look at, say, where are the weapons in the running game? Where are the protections? Is there going to be a running game? Where's the offensive line? And he can only do so much, right? And certainly couldn't play secondary, as was pointed out on Sunday, right? But the notion that whatever the long-term play is for him and the franchise, they certainly don't look good enough to win a Super Bowl right now in the back end with this running. I mean, this doesn't feel like a 20-game plan. They're two games into it. You'd like to think they're going to play 20, right? 21, whatever the number would be, right? And we don't have any thought that this is going to be the running game of 2019. It doesn't feel that way. And certainly doesn't feel like the back end is not going to be vulnerable and certainly won't be tested. It will be tested now that the ball's going over their heads. That's going to be part of the game plan now. So especially if you can't get after the quarterback late in the game and you know these 30-somethings are going to be a little rundown, always going to have 80 plays or whatever they're going to do. First and foremost, it's Lamar around the country. It comes back to Lamar. Lamar's doing everything to get the money.
Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant on Sunday. I mean, again, it's ironic because we've talked about wanting to see a passing attack that looks like this. And to be very clear, I've never been someone where I'm just like, oh, he can't throw. I mean, I've said all along, you don't lead the NFL in touchdown passes 3 years ago by accident. Clearly, the ability is there. But questions about the weapons, questions about Greg Roman, questions about just finding more balance, questions about when you get into some of these shootout-type scenarios, do the Ravens have the horses to go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City, with the Buffalo? You know, what we saw on Sunday...
We're going to find out 2 weeks on that now, aren't we?
Well, sure. What we saw on Sunday, I felt really good about that part of it, but that didn't mean you completely lose all semblance of a non-Lamar Jackson running game. That doesn't mean that your defense can't stop anybody the way that they couldn't stop anyone in the fourth quarter of Sunday's loss. So that's where some irony sets in, that you see some elements where you say, all right, my goodness. I mean, you know, throws for over 300 yards, you know, another long touchdown pass, 75-yard touchdown pass to Bateman, and three touchdowns. He had a perfect passer rating for a large portion of Sunday's game. He rushed for 119 yards and set a new NFL record for 100-yard rushing games by a quarterback. I mean, he set so many records and had so many accolades in Sunday's game where you're excited about seeing that, and you're saying, wow, this looks like MVP version of Lamar 2.0, right? And you can't run the ball, and you can't play complimentary football, and you can't protect the lead. And it is a reminder that even Superman needs some help, and the Ravens' winning formula still needs to be there. Doesn't mean they need to set a record with their rushing game.
Superman needed Lois Lane. I know that from the song, right?
Or you talk about the Justice League, or, you know, get it into the weeds of DC Comics. Yeah, I mean, but
that's a man with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles over his shoulder.
You just look at what the Ravens' winning formula has been. We've talked about Lamar being Superman, but running game, defense, being able to finish in the fourth quarter. I mean, this was a game ripe for one of those 7-8 minute drives where, you know, you mix in some throws. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to completely sit on the lead, and there's no reason to do that when you have a quarterback that's dicing up a Miami defense that kept trying to blitz them like last year, and Lamar kept making them pay. I mean, go back and look at the first half. According to Next Gen Stats, Miami blitzed him on 10 of 13 dropbacks, including all three touchdown passes. 8 of 10, 162 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, every single metric told you that Lamar took that Miami blitz that gave him all those problems and you know, just completely dunked on them, you know, with that. So when you see that, it's still a reminder that you still need to be able to play complementary football to a degree. It doesn't mean it has to be a historic running game. It doesn't mean it even has to be a top three defense, but to get what they got in the fourth quarter there, it showed that they literally couldn't do it with just Lamar, right? They had to have a little bit of complimentary football there at the end, and they couldn't have that. And that's frustrating because Lamar does that. It's exactly what we had asked about, questioned after what was an uneven season for him last year before he got hurt. You know, things hadn't been trending in a good direction. He comes back and, you know, we see how he's looked throwing the football really the first 2 weeks. You know, took him a little while to get going up in New York, but after that first quarter, you know, threw three touchdowns. You know, can't argue with that. So it's just frustrating because you have this guy who is so special, who does things that no one else can do. You know, runs for a 79-yard touchdown, and you're saying, all right, that's all she wrote. That's over. The party's on in Baltimore. The route is on in Baltimore for the final quarter. And boy, it was the exact opposite of that. As I said on Twitter, what was a party transformed into a trip to the dentist. It just was not a lot of fun. And it's a shame because Lamar played so brilliantly over those first three quarters and put the Ravens in position to win handily, and they couldn't do it.
You know, I see the support for him from the Richard Shermans and people out that have been outspoken about the Players Association and his role in this and him having to get the most amount of money, and good for him, and he's earned it. And the notion that you're still going to, 5 years into this, stack 11 guys up in front and create one crease that's going to allow him to go 75 yards, right? Or that you really believe he can't throw the football over your head or underneath your nose or make all the throws or make throws on the run, or the fact that he's very hard to bring down. Like, all of these ongoing issues for him, but his beauty in being 38 and 12 or whatever that gaudy number is, that's one of the three of the, going back to Danny White. I remember the team that Danny White inherited from Roger Staubach back in the early 80s. But I would just say, for him, checking every box and every challenge every time, whether it's his coaches from high school saying he was that way in the beginning, and where they are with him now, that this is still happening, that he can still read a play and go 75 yards if you let him. And to some degree, the underestimation of his ability to make throws into space and the fact that he's kind of fearless. I mean, I talked about Joe Flacco being fearless and throwing the football around. Lamar doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, that goofy pass he made to Howard, right? He doesn't. Flacco threw more of those kind of beans out there to let picks happen. Lamar takes really good care of the football. That's why kicking the ball around on the goal line, these mistakes that have happened, to me, they don't he's still doing everything he should do to be getting paid, and that's obvious, and we can focus on that. We can talk about his money. I know he doesn't want to talk about his money, but it really is kind of an incredible thing to watch this unfold and to watch it unfold and say, where is his help coming from? You know, pay him all you want, but somebody's got to play left tackle. Somebody's got to be a real running back. There needs to be a committee. This worked with Ingram, Gus Bus. This worked when there was a committee, and he was still running the ball 8, 10, 12 times a game and was a threat to do that. I think they've worked him into, he's not going to be a guy who's going to run into the line of scrimmage anymore. He knows that's not good for his future. He talks about being a billionaire. He can't do that with a broken leg, right? So his game has been adjusted so many times, and there's been so many challenges for defensive coordinators to try to stop him, and yet he still won out and put up, you know, big crooked numbers on them with touchdowns on Sunday.
No question about it. It's a reminder that a lot of people say a lot of dumb stuff about Lamar Jackson in between these performances, whether we're talking about the offseason, typically the offseason, right? Because that's the longest stretch of time you go without seeing him play. And people think that, you know, remember way back when it was the Chargers defense that they played quarter, right? They had seven defensive backs on the field, and that was the way that solved Lamar Jackson. Well, we found out that wasn't really the case, and most teams don't have the personnel to play that kind of defense and be successful in the long run sense. You know, his struggles against the blitz were real in 2021. Go look at the numbers. It wasn't just Miami. However, go back and look at his MVP season. Teams blitzed him that year. He killed them. He killed the blitz. So this, and you and I've talked about this, and look, if you want to sit here and say you don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to be an elite top five or top 10 quarterback when he hits his 30s and inevitably his speed is diminished, knock yourself out, I guess. But in the meantime, while you're continuing to dwell on that, not you, I just in a general sense, when people are continuing to dwell on that, boy, you're missing a hell of a show here, because this guy is special and he's a pleasure to watch and he's exciting. He's the most electric player that this team has had in its history, with apologies to Ed Reed, who did similar things on the defensive side of the ball, but he wasn't handed the ball pre-snap, right? I mean, it was a little different element there. So, you know, Jacoby Jones, you know, you can name some other guys, but no one. Lamar is one of one in that way. And you know, I saw a stat. Sunday was his third game with 3+ passing touchdowns and 100+ rushing yards, which is the most by any player in the Super Bowl era. Not a big surprise there, right? But according to the NFL, all other quarterbacks have 6 of those games combined over that span. It just tells you, it reinforces how extraordinarily unique this guy is. So that's where it's frustrating when it's sitting right there. You're up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and all you need to do is be able to, you don't have to break chunk runs, just get 4 or 5 yards a carry, right? I mean, just stay on schedule, be able to move the ball in third and short situations. As I mentioned, you know, they had 10 different plays on Sunday, not counting the Hail Mary, which wasn't a short yardage situation, but it was 3rd and 1. They had 10 different plays where they needed 1 yard to either score a touchdown or to get a first down. They only converted 3 of those. That shouldn't happen. And I get it. Lamar did run a couple of those and got stuffed, but it's just an indictment on the offensive line. It's an indictment on Greg Roman. It's an indictment of their current backs. I know J.K. Dobbins isn't out there, but boy, there are a lot of good running backs around the NFL. If it is Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis, and I'm not saying it is, but if that were to be the problem, then what are they doing from a standpoint of player personnel? So you just look at that, and then you look at the defense and all the resources pumped into that, and to not be able to back up Lamar just enough to secure a win in the fourth quarter on Sunday, it's wildly disappointing, because even as special as Lamar is, or Patrick Mahomes, or Josh Allen, you know, name your Aaron Rodgers, whoever you want to name as far as your favorite quarterback in the NFL, they don't do what Lamar did on Sunday every single week. You know, that doesn't happen every single week. So when you get a performance like that, and you look at the final numbers and all the records and everything they did, and then you say, they lost the football game? It really is difficult to believe when you look at the offensive numbers and then sit back and realize that they squandered a 21-point lead and lost, which they had only done one other time in the history of the franchise.
Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. I can be found out at Baltimore Positive. I have inked a column called Columnness. I've also addressed Chad Steele taking my press credentials at length. If you have not read that, I would greatly appreciate that, as well as some feedback on what we're doing around here. Revamping the website, lots of things happening, including the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Cooper's North up in Timonium, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as a Goodwill. Window Nation, still doing great deals here for football season. Make sure you're checking them out, 866-90-NATION. And the Restaurant Association of Maryland, reminding everybody it's Restaurant Week here. Get out, take advantage of chefs showing off. Get out and support local businesses. If there's that restaurant you've been wanting to try, this is the week to get out and try it, all right? Luke's around, I'm around. We're going to continue to unpack the mess of a very, very messy week and a trip to Foxborough, and the Bills are coming down the line, and it's football season. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. Stay with us. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.